It's Cody and Connor with Between Two Birds. It's the best sports podcast that you've ever heard. With the Orioles and Ravens, it's the best of Baltimore. With all the sporting news that you're looking for. Between Two Birds, enjoy the show. Between Two Birds, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of appropriate ages, welcome to the Between Two Birds podcast. I'm your host, Cody Colston.
And I'm Connor Gersio.
And the date is November 18th, 2015, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back. We're going to tickle you. And we're in person this time. Connor's actually sitting next to me. We're not doing it online. He's right here. I can smell him. He doesn't smell that good.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Your looks make up for it.
Okay, that's better then.
Okay, for to lead in, Maryland beats Georgetown. It was 75-71. Mello Trimble actually went off 24 points. That's not what I wanted to focus on, though. I mean, it was nice that Maryland beats Georgetown. They're probably going to go up in rankings, even though they're already number three. Lots of other good teams lost, so that's good for Maryland. But Scott Van Pelt was the post-game show, because he's the new sportscaster for ESPN at midnight, or whatever they call it. I don't watch SportsCenter that much. I'm going to admit that flat out. Do you watch SportsCenter at all?
Only when Scott Van Pelt does it.
Exactly. See, he's the only worthwhile one watching. So, and he did the post-game at, is it the Comcast Center now, or the Xfinity Center?
I forget. Xfinity Center.
They change it, like, every season.
Coalfield House, I don't know what it's called
anymore. Or was it on neutral ground? I can't remember.
No, it was Maryland's arena. I was at University of Maryland.
Okay. But anyway, he had probably the best post game for Maryland in general. I mean, he had Mello Trimble on immediately after because of his big game. Mello Trimble was hitting great shot after great shot towards the end there. He doesn't hit shots in like the middle of the game when it's like when you know you're ahead 5 points or back 5 points. He hits it like in clutch time, if that makes any sense. That's Mello's wheelhouse, and he absolutely proved that he could be, you know, one of the top players in NCAA men's basketball this year. But he had Scott Van Pelt had Mello Trimble on, and then he brings on Grievous Vasquez, because Grievous Vasquez was at the game. Everyone loves Grievous, so, and then he brings on Mark Turgeon. While he's giving the interview, there is just a wall of high school recruits sitting behind Turgeon watching him get interviewed by SportsCenter, and it's one of the greatest things. Scott Van Pelt is a mastermind, ladies and gentlemen. He absolutely loves the program, and I love him for that reason alone. And then towards the end, he actually had a bunch more guests. He had the commissioner of the Big Ten, and he had Jake Lehman on. And he had Mike Tirico and Michael Wilborn. And towards the end there, he just like picks a random college student, because the college students were sitting there behind him the entire time, you know, chanting and doing things college students do. I can't really say that because I'm a college student.
Them young whippersnappers out there at University of Maryland, you know, and chanting out SVP.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm going to get to, but he picks a random student, brings him out. He says, "I'm going to give you all the money I have in my pocket," which he said was like $187. If you got three chances to make a half court shot, he doesn't make any of them. But he asks the kid's age afterwards. He's like, "Kid goes, I'm 20." Scott Van Pelt, you're 20. You can't go to Bentley's then. And for those who don't know, Bentley's a big bar down there in College Park. He says, "You can't go to Bentley's then." Then he turns to the crowd. He goes, "All right, everyone who's old enough to go to Bentley's, let's go to Bentley's." And then the lead out was the whole crowd chanting SVP, SVP. It was great. I loved it. I love Scott Van Pelt.
Georgetown is 0-2. Syracuse is 2-0. I'm doing fine right now. Because we ended up beating, I don't even remember what college we beat last night. We were losing the whole game, and everyone was tweeting about Maryland. I was just sitting there going, "Go team." state pride. I don't give a crap about Maryland, but
I always forget you're a Syracuse fan.
Well, we're not going to do anything this year, so it's not like there's any rivalry. We're in the ACC. You're in the Big Ten.
Well, yeah, I know that, but it's just like you're a Syracuse fan.
Yeah.
It's disgusting in general.
That's okay. We're losing Boeheim. You know, our program's about to take a hit. So, Rakeem Christmas left. Trevor Cooney's leaving after this year. We're not going to make any of the tournaments. So, just don't let...
Well, Maryland's not going to make the Big Ten tournament because we're new. That's one of the stipulations. I don't know what the stipulation is, but they were talking about it last night on SportsCenter. Maryland's not going to be able to make the Big Ten tournament because they're one of the new programs that joined. I think it's both basketball and football. They can't make the Big Ten championship, but they can get into the NCAA tournament. Well, basketball wise and playoff.
Didn't they make it last year?
No, I don't think they made it last year.
Because I remember them playing like Michigan State and stuff.
It might have been in the NCAA tourney, or it might be in I forget what the consolation tournament is for the people who don't make the NCAA tourney.
Not the NIT?
The NIT. It might have been that.
Oh. I don't remember. Because I know
they made the NIT the year before last, but I can't remember if they made it last year.
Okay.
So, there's that. Yeah, anyway, it was just great. I had a grin on my face the entire time watching that. I love Scott Van Pelt. But moving on, we're going to hop right into football. And actually, we should probably touch on some changes. Our segments are gone, you know, Hate of the Week, all that. We're ditching all those because it's a new podcast, basically. We're trying to be a little bit more scripted, but we're trying to keep it free because that's the banter is what we find what makes our show unique. But we're, instead of musical breaks, we were thinking about doing, you know, that's when our segments are going to take place. We're going to have a pre-recorded segment, and it's going to be something maybe different a little every week. And that's the route we're going.
And if someone ever wants to be an interviewee on this podcast, that segment would be added in.
However. You know, or something like that. We're making stuff up as we go because that's how we roll. But you know, script a little bit more scripted, trying to keep it a little more together. But that's how it's going to go from now on. So just a heads up with that. So we're going to hop right into football, and since this is a Baltimore sports podcast, we have to talk about the Ravens first. Unfortunately. You're a Giants fan, so you don't get the...
Hey, we're barely in first. The Redskins are gaining on us. Somehow. What? We couldn't beat the Patriots.
You're a Giants fan.
Okay. Hey.
New York is despicable. I'm sorry. I can't... The Yankees have, like, tainted everything there except the Mets. And the Giants have a soft spot because I like Eli and Coughlin.
And they've beaten the Patriots twice.
Where were you last year then? Couldn't fucking beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
We were terrible last year. We didn't have anybody.
Well, you're the only ones who can beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sorry, we had the off year. Sorry, Seattle can't do anything besides beat Peyton and, like, destroy him, so... And it's not my fault they didn't want to run on fourth and whatever, or threw to Butler, the interception.
Are you saying the Giants didn't do nothing?
No, it's the Seahawks. It's all the Seahawks' fault. And if, you know, we had won maybe more than four games, probably would have made the playoffs. But
if only the woodpecker cried, the bark on the tree was as soft as the sky.
You know what?
I'm quoting Holes to you. Shut up.
Holes. Hashtag all my movies.
Oh, God. Let's not even get there. Anyway, getting back on track. Ravens, a couple moves today. Jeremy's a touch of the IR with a torn pec. I can't even... I've seen, like, pictures of, like, weightlifters when they tear their pecs during competitions. And, like, their whole chest is just, like, a black and blue bruise. So, I feel for Jeremy right now. Pray for Jeremy. Not Jeremy Kahn, but pray for Jeremy. Anyway, the expected roster move is that John Urschel's going to replace him, you know, the mathlete. Which, it's really... I like John Urschel just because, I mean, how many people are that smart and go into the NFL besides, like... I don't know.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah,
Harvard boy. Matt Burke went to Harvard, too. Old Ravens Center.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's funny that even if out of every team, John Urschel's probably the smartest, just off of just, like, disqualification for everyone else, you know? Just because. I was going to make a concussion joke, but I couldn't think of the wording. was going to say the rest of them have brain damage to the full extent, but I don't want to become that cynical so far.
You went 0 to 100 real quick, but you never hit 100. You hit like 50.
That's okay.
Perriman and Asad Jackson also good IR. I'm pretty sure Perriman's dead at this point. Like, I haven't heard any... Like, it's such a weird thing with Perriman because it was supposed to be a knee strain. And, like, he had... Like, I think John Harbaugh even said, like, you know, he has the slowest healing knee injury I've ever seen or something along those lines. I mean, he even got it scoped by Dr. Andrews and they still said it was just a strain. And it's so weird because he was never available for the media. Nobody could ask him any questions about it. They never made him available, which is even weirder. And it's kind of shady, I'm not going to lie, but it's whatever. I mean, he's going to be back next year. This season's a wash anyway, so put all the stars on IR. I don't care. Field a team of scrubs at this point. Give me a good draft pick.
Get the first overall in Ravens history.
Yeah, really. I wouldn't be mad about that. I mean, they're probably going to pick a pass rusher, but... Or they're going to trade out of the top five, because that seems like an Ozzie thing. They try to get a King's ransom for that pick. Because Ozzie loves his picks.
Yeah, because he's done so great. You know, Breshad Perriman.
Shut your mouth.
Hey! What do we have? What do we have? Landon Collins. Can't freaking tackle. Wow, Beckham. Okay, Beckham fell in our last because apparently nobody else in the top 10 wanted him. He would have fell to, like, Pittsburgh. You're lucky we took him when we did because he would be destroying the Ravens secondary more than Antonio Brown does.
Oh, no, I think they would have gone defense because the Steelers' defense sucked. Going into the draft, they didn't. They had a horrible defense last year.
Well, they were looking at Mosley more than anything. But yeah. Then they took who did they take?
I can't even remember. Bud Dupree.
No, it was someone else.
Oh wait, that was the year before last Mosley went.
It was the year Mosley went.
God, I can't remember. I can't remember. I don't think it was Steven Tuitt.
No. If I heard the name, I'd be like, that's him.
It was Shazier.
Yeah, Ryan Shazier.
That's who it was. Yeah. Really fast guy who can't stay on the field. That's what it was. Mystery solved.
Because we care so much about the Steelers.
And yeah, exactly.
And their shitty draft picks, too.
Yeah.
God. No, but I'm being serious. Name a really good draft pick the Ravens have had since Flacco.
Really good draft pick since Kelechi Osemele.
And he's still on
he's like a Pro Bowl guard. He's going to get like paid this offseason.
Well, he's a
CJ Mosley. Great draft pick.
Well, he's struggled this year.
Well, not really. CJ he hasn't made plays like he did his rookie season, but he's not like shitty. He's not shitting the bed.
I'm not shitty, but I mean, I'll say like everyone praises Ozzie because he's just the great draft picker.
I admit, like, the last two drafts have been kind of lackluster.
I feel like it's gotten to his head a little bit. It was like, I'm such the good draft guy, you know?
I don't know. He doesn't seem like he's very, very full of himself.
Well, you only see what you...
Well, yeah, true.
Make it in the press conferences.
True. It is what it is. But, I don't know. Everyone has, like, bad drafts every once in a while. I mean, the Ravens have never really had, like, an absolute terrible draft. I don't think, in recent memory. So they're kind of due. But, I mean, it is what it is. The drafts have been kind of lackluster lately, but I think that's more due to injuries than anything, because we've had a bunch of guys get injured.
Yeah, it's just unluck.
Unluck? You mean they're unlucky?
Yeah, they're unlucky. It's unluck.
It's unluck. Oh, God.
Suck for unluck.
Suck for... I'm going to ignore that. moving on, Asad Jackson also went on the IR, if I didn't say that earlier. He's been a fantastic special teamer. He blocked a field goal against the Chargers. His big thing is that he has a lot of personal fouls, and I think Harbaugh said that a player shouldn't have 3 personal fouls in his career, and Asad Jackson has like 3 in the season already. So, I mean, he's definitely a hothead. I'm not going to defend him on that, but he was such a great special teamer. He realized it was, I read something about this with long snappers. When it comes to snapping in general, actually, once the ball comes up, because with a long snapper, the ball has to come up before it goes back, before they snap it, because they have to get their momentum and all that jazz. The play is actually live once the ball comes up off the ground. So Ajay Jackson realized that, and as soon as he sees that, he starts booking it. And you can see it on a couple of the field goal tries by opposing teams. He, like, gets the jump down perfect. And that's, you know, that's been his big thing this year, and I think he's been, like, a somewhat okay gunner. But his big thing has been on the field goal unit. So, I mean, that's kind of a loss, but, I mean, we're, like, 2-7, so...
Yeah, you're really going to miss that special teams guy.
Yeah, right.
You can't catch passes or play defense. That's the big loss right there.
Well, it's like, he's not supposed to catch passes. He's played.
No, defense. I'm saying, when you can't catch passes on offense, you can't play defense, your biggest loss is the special teams guy because he was the highlight of your team.
I'm glaring at Connor right now, for those of you who can't hear. Anyway, the Ravens signed Cassius Vaughn, Chase Ford, and Kalen Clay. I don't know who...
All Madden-generated players.
Yeah, exactly. There's Kalen Clay, I like that name because it flows, but that's about it. Chase Ford, I've read some on him. He was a tight end for the Vikings. He was played behind Kyle Rudolph. He was supposed to be a average to good tight end for them, but he never really got any playing time.
And Cassius Vaughn has the name of Muhammad Ali's old name, Cassius Clay. So he's obviously destined to be one of the greatest ever.
That's the extent of your input.
Yeah. I don't know who they are. I'm not going to pretend. You know, oh, he's supposed to be a good player, but, you know, them darn, you know, better players on the team.
Right. Okay, well, moving on.
2015 Ravens season.
Yeah, it's a clusterfuck. This is actually the worst season since we've drafted Joe Flacco.
I don't know. You gave the Dolphins one win that year.
That was before Flacco.
No, I'm saying that was the year before Flacco.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's been the worst year since Flacco. It's the worst year under Flacco and Harbaugh. Because they were 8-8 last... Were they 8-8?
No, they won 10 games. They made the playoffs.
Oh, it was the year before last they were 8-8, weren't they?
Yeah, because that was the year after... That was the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the refs... Well, the NFL spokesperson said that the refs erred on the last play of the game because the Jaguars, none of their players were set before they hiked the ball, which should have been an automatic penalty, and what should have ended the game because the game can end on an offensive penalty, not a defensive penalty like what Elvis Dumervil committed, and that put them in field goal range, and their kicker somehow made that, even though he shanked like a 30-yarder before in the game.
Yeah.
And then he hits like a 53-yarder to win it.
And then earlier in the year, they were playing the Colts, and a field goal would have won it for him, and he missed it from like 40-some yards.
Yeah.
So, no, it's just... Jaguar poetic justice in that sense, because...
Yeah.
But then you get to what actually happened. It's like, damn, the Ravens got fucked.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm fine with it because we're not going to do anything this season anyway, so might as well just tank. Tank for... Who's the big one coming out? The big pass rusher is like Joey Bosa or whatever?
I have no idea. The only college football player I know is the wide receiver from Baylor that's, like, really good. And Cardale Jones, we ain't come to play school.
Starting quarterback of Ohio State University, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, they have like three starting quarterbacks, I feel like.
Well, Braxton Miller moved to wide receiver.
Well, yeah. And then
they have the other guy, I think.
Yeah. Who's hurt? I don't know.
I think they're going by quarterback by committee, and they're sucking with it.
Yeah. Well, it's Ohio State, so I hope they lose.
Yeah, I hope they die in a fire. That was a little bit too harsh. Okay.
Nah. It's Ohio State.
And there was an interesting announcement on the Ravens website is that supposedly Lardarius Webb is going to be moved back and he's going to play a little bit more safety, which isn't surprising. He's definitely lost a step as a corner, but we don't have any corners. We have plenty of safeties. We have bodies that, you know, we can throw in the safety position, but we don't have too many people that, you know, can actually play corner. So that's kind of that's a little bit of a head scratcher, but I mean the season's shitty, so you might as well experiment. That's the biggest thing I want to get out of this season. Like since we're not going to do anything, just experiment, see, you know, play somebody at a position, see what happens. I'm very interested in what
sign Tim Tebow, play him a tight end.
Exactly, do that. No, don't do that, please don't. But yeah, that's going to be the interesting part about the rest of the season, I think, because they're not making the playoffs. They can say all they want that they're, you know, they're going to try to make the playoffs, but they're not. They're not. Let's not fool ourselves.
I'm going to quote John Harbaugh from week 4. It's not a must-win game.
Week 15, 2-14.
It's not a must-win season.
It's not a must-win game, no.
All right. Moving on to some more NFL-centric news. We found this interesting. The Thursday night Bills-Jets game, they unveiled the new quote-unquote color rush uniforms, which was just pretty much all green and all red. It looked like Christmas colors to me, personally.
Because we could see colors.
Yeah. I can see colors. It sounds... Well, I mean, you can't see. It's not... What is it? I can see... What is it? I can see smells or something like that.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's one of those things. But 8% of the male population is green-red colorblind, or some to that extent. I can't remember what it was. They're colorblind. I don't know if it's specifically green-red, but they were having a hard time watching it because it was quote-unquote monochromatic, whatever that means.
You couldn't defer which team was which.
Yeah.
And I love the excuses. Well, you just look at the helmet. It's like, okay, I don't care how big your TV is. You can't see a helmet on a guy running down a field. Oh, no, it's LeSean McCoy. No, wait. It's Chris Ivory. I can't tell. Well, look at the helmet then, loser. You know?
Look at the helmet, loser. Oh, God.
Sounds like a Donald Trump. Well, if you just look at the helmet, you wouldn't be such a loser if you're colorblind, you know?
Let's not get political.
Oh, come on.
No, we're not getting political. This is a sports podcast. But yeah, that's what I found interesting. I don't know if they're actually going to do anything to address that, because it's the NFL and the NFL doesn't care.
No. You can't dye your hair pink and wear eye black with words on them, but...
Well, you can dye your hair. That's one thing they can't regulate.
Oh, you can dye... No, you can. You can't use the eye black with the words on it, because... Yeah.
Tim Tebow.
It hurts your feelings. It hurts the NFL feelings.
Feelings.
Oh, Bo, beat your wife, but you can't wear the eye black with the words on it.
Okay, moving on. The big thing this week is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning gets benched for Brock Lobster.
The only reason I know that exists is because Family Guy did a joke about it.
Yeah, I know. That's where I get it from. But yeah, Brock Lobster is now the starting quarterback for the Broncos. Many think it's permanent. Is going to be a permanent switch, which actually would make the Broncos a better team, because Peyton Manning has been the worst quarterback so far this season. And that's saying something for, you know, because
it's saying
the Steelers started old Mike Vick.
It's saying I'm an idiot because I drafted Peyton Manning third round in my fantasy draft, and I could have taken freaking Tom Brady because he didn't even get drafted. Freaking.
I got Aaron Rodgers in the second round, so I'm happy.
Draft a quarterback in the second round for?
Because it's Aaron Rodgers. He's guaranteed like
30 points. I picked up Andy Dalton off the waiver wire in week 5. My friend picked up Blake Bortles week 4, and he's got sitting someone on his bench.
Okay, we're going to shelve the fantasy talk, because that's going to be a new part of the show. We're going to talk fantasy, because we're both fantasy morons. But anyway, you know, Brock Osweiler comes in. He actually was serviceable. I think he had, like, one touchdown, one interception, like, 80 yards, something like that. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me. But it turns out Peyton Manning has a torn plantar fascia, which is the same thing Albert Pujols had. But it's not fully torn. From what I understand, fully torn, it hurts less than if it was partially torn. So... that has to suck for him. He thought he could... He didn't think it was that much of a deal, a big deal with him, and I think the thing was he didn't inform the coaching staff, which is on him. I mean, the loss is on him if he doesn't do that.
My foot hurts really bad. I just lost my starting job.
Oh, that's good. But yeah, and... Brock Lobster is going to come in, and we might discuss the fantasy ramifications for that, if there are any, later in the show.
If you still need a quarterback, and you're in a playoff hunt, and you need Brock Osweiler, the 1% of you, yeah. Pick him up.
we're gonna do some quick hits, so we're just going to say a news line, and then we're going to give our opinion, and we're going to move on as quick as possible. All right, Nick Foley and Dynamite gets benched for Case Keenum. Opinion.
Dumb.
Dumb.
Yes, Case Keenum sucks. Nick Foles for the win.
I agree. I think Nick Foles is a much better quarterback. I mean, Case Keenum, he had an okay year with the Texans. He started 8 games for the Texans 1 year. But that's when the team was actually good. You know, that defense was, like, you know, top five, and they actually had a running game behind him, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, dumb move. Nick Foles should start. It's just Jeff Fisher trying to save his job. Next piece. Johnny Manziel takes over the quarterback position for the Browns. Josh McCown is officially the second stringer. Thoughts?
What do you got to lose? It's the Browns. What do you have to lose? I mean, if it works out, great. You got your new starting quarterback. If it doesn't, you got another name to add onto the Browns jersey.
That's such a good jersey.
The factory of sadness.
Yeah, the factory of... You are a factory of sadness! I miss that about Google, because you used to be able to type in factory of sadness, and it would come up with Cleveland Browns Stadium, but they changed it.
Probably because someone, hey, it's not nice. I take my Browns very seriously. So serious that I go to every game when they go 2-14 in a season.
I take my Browns very seriously, because I have to use the toilet.
Take my Browns seriously. I steal them from Cleveland and paint them purple.
It's a low blow.
you stole the Browns.
Well, I mean, with the Ravens season, you could call them the classic Cleveland Browns.
No, yeah, they're the purple Browns this year. But it's funny because they're actually worse than the real Browns that right now. But they painted themselves orange because for some reason they wear the orange jerseys now. But their logo is still a helmet, so they ultimately lose.
Yeah.
So...
The purple Browns, that sounds like a medical condition.
Doc, I got the purple Browns. Well, sorry, but you're done.
You're done. Get out of here. All right, next piece. Rob Ryan fired as defensive coordinator for the Saints.
Sorry, Katie Nolan. Katie, number one Rob Ryan fan.
The Saints have the 32nd ranked defense with total yards and have given up the most points in the league. And Rex Ryan still has said he's not against adding Rob Ryan to his coaching staff.
Well, the Bills defense is already underachieving this year. Might as well add Rob Ryan.
What could go wrong? Oh, ask a Saints fan. A lot could go wrong.
I think they're starting to miss Greg Williams in New Orleans. We'll take the suspensions. Just give us a decent defense.
You know? Dennis Allen will be taking over the defensive coordinator position for the Saints, which it's not really much of a change because Dennis Allen was already calling all the coverages. Yeah. I think
those coverages led to Kirk Cousins winning offensive player of the week second time this year.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think I speak for Raider fans when I say,
oh, wait, did Dennis Allen coach Oakland?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was like half a season, wasn't he?
Oh wow, poor guy.
it's bad. All right, next hit. Adon Smith gets suspended for his DUI hit and run back in August. He had 3.5 sacks for the Raiders.
True Raider.
bleed silver and black, but it's really not surprising.
Bleed silver and black, and behind silver and black bars.
It's not surprising. I mean, he pretty much asked for it, but he kept his nose clean in Oakland, so I'll give him props for that. I mean, it's a year. He's going to be like 27 or 28 when he comes back. He's still going to have something left in the tank. I wish him the best. I really do, because he's an exciting player to watch when he actually tries and keeps his nose clean.
If he'd stop yelling bombs in airports and stop hitting people with his car, I think he'd be a decent guy. But, you know, he fits the Oakland mentality of do everything wrong off the field and then still be okay on field. They won't hate you.
I thought that was the Cowboys.
Well, now it's the Cowboys. The Raiders are turning it around because they're actually decent now. But no, the Cowboys are disgusting.
Greg Hardy would be a great person if he just stopped punching women.
You know, or it changes his Twitter bio, innocent until proven guilty. Well, you were found guilty. You just got off, but...
Right.
All right. Greg Hardy, human trash. Moving on.
Two more quick hits. Julian Edelman is out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. He had a screw inserted the other day. And Victor Cruz, his season ends, or did it really even begin?
It never began. He worked out, never played in preseason, and the Giants' replacement for him is Hakeem Nicks.
So, Mr. Mittens.
So, you know, we're going back to the show. Going to beat Tom Brady again, and it's going to be a Dwayne Harris catch on the helmet for 80 yards. Down the sideline, because they'll shut down Beckham the whole game. Hakeem Nicks will get one catch.
And it's going to be like the...
It'll be like Vereen destroying the Patriots, and it'll be like 13-10.
Accurate assessment.
Because that's how Patriots and Giants Super Bowls go.
All right, that's the end for the actual news. We're going to talk a little fantasy because we both play fantasy football and it's interesting to us. Tony Romo, he's coming back this week. I picked him up off the waiver wire in my league. Who got him in your league?
Someone kept him.
Really? Someone kept him that long?
Yeah, well, they had Drew Brees. Or no, I forget what the other quarterback they had was, but they kept him. I don't know why. I kept Peyton Manning until this past week.
Open. That's just a moron move.
I didn't need him. I've won three in a row. I have the longest winning streak of my fantasy career here going.
Yeah, but if you need a quarterback, pick Tony Romo up.
If he's available. You know, today's Wire Wednesday, so
yeah, he might be. Everyone is getting their stuff through today. I mean, if he's still out there, pick him up like ASAP if you need a quarterback or anything like that. And then Brock Osweiler, he's gonna have some value in like two quarterback leagues.
Yeah, well, who's still out my receiver in Denver? They have Julius Thomas. Or no. Who am I thinking of?
The receivers for Denver?
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas. And Emmanuel Sanders and Owen Daniels. And Vernon Davis.
Well, Daniels has stepped it up because they just picked up a tight end.
They picked up Vernon Davis.
Oh, yeah, Vernon Davis. So,
but Daniels hasn't done anything.
No. But Sanders had zero fantasy points last week because Manning got benched and
Sanders got hurt during the game because he had that ankle thing which he was questionable game time, but he decided to play and then he got hurt during the game again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Danny Amendola, pick him up if he's out there, which I probably, if anybody's smart, they're picking these people up. I'm sorry if you missed out, but Danny Amendola he's probably gonna take over the bulk of the catches for Julian Edelman, and then they're gonna have, was there other receivers like Andre Dobson and like Chris Harper or something? Brandon LaFell, yeah, there's him.
And then Gronk.
Gronk, of course, there's always Gronk. Can't go wrong with Gronk.
Chicken souffle. He tweeted out yesterday, and you spelled chicken souffle wrong. You spelled the S-U-E-F-L-A-Y. This man wrote a book, so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, look it up. Rob Gronkowski wrote a book. I'm pretty sure. He just, like, smashed his computer, and they just edited it. They go, is this what you want? He goes, yeah. Party on, bro.
Yo soy fiesta.
Gronk.
I am the party. Wes Welker is actually probably going to have a big role in the Rams offense, speaking of Patriot wide receivers.
Speaking of white Patriot receivers.
Exactly.
Wes Welker.
If he can find his way to the stadium, he's going to have a bigger part in the Rams offense. Because all the concussions.
Oh, poor guy. Well, didn't he wear, like, the massive helmet in Denver?
I can't remember. Yeah, something like that. He had, like, a big helmet.
He wore the Brian Roberts helmet in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, who wore the big helmet? David Wright.
David Wright, he wore it too, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Brian Roberts came back. He wore the double mitten, like, Little League helmet when he came back from his concussion.
He got that concussion in a stupid way, too. Didn't he, like, hit the bat on his helmet?
No, he had two. He hit the bat on his helmet, and then he slid into first, and he bumped his head on the base. He would probably be a backup somewhere.
If that didn't happen.
Yeah. I looked it up yesterday. Brian Roberts has more career doubles than Mickey Mantle.
Really?
But so does Royce Clayton, so I don't know how much that...
Who the hell's Royce Clayton?
He's, like, some outfielder from, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Astute observation.
Yeah. I only saw him in, like, MLB The Show. So.
Okay. And our final hit with fantasy, because we gotta wrap this up. Robert Turbin got signed by the Cowboys, which I don't know if that holds any significance, because I don't know what the Cowboys running back situation looks like, to be honest, because it's been a clusterfuck since day one.
Because Randall's hurt.
No, Randall. They cut Randall.
Oh, they cut him. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, because he had, like, a substance abuse thing.
He got
suspended. They caught him, and then he got suspended.
No, yeah, Greg Hardy's still employed. Okay. Yeah. But,
he missed practices this week, too.
Oh.
And he's still...
No, but he shows true leadership, according to Jerry Jones. He shows true leadership of,
Isn't Jerry Jones also the one who said that Brandon Whedon is the most gifted passer he's ever seen, and Brandon Whedon just got cut yesterday?
Yeah. Well, Brandon Whedon was a minor league baseball player, so he couldn't even make it with the Yankees. He played for like the Yankees and a couple.
Worse to say he couldn't even make it with like the Padres or something like that.
Yeah, like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps up the football portion. We're going to segue into a segment. We don't know what it is yet, but you're going to hear that, so... Welcome to the segue. This is the part of the show where we try to be interesting or informative in whatever way we can. This week we're going to do a little thing I like to call time capsule. We're going to go back in time. We're going to pick a random sports player, and we're gonna tell you a little bit about them. Just random. It's like we either pick a random baseball reference page or a random football reference, something like that, and we tell you this story. And this week it is Harold James Eckerson. He was born July 17th, 1990 in Portland, Oregon. And he was a relief pitcher for the Detroit Tigers for one season in 1953. He was 6'5", 230, threw and batted right-handed. He played for the Canadian American League. And 1950, he was with the Quebec Braves. He had a record of 20-4 and led the league in earned run average, strikeouts, and complete games. The Tigers signed him, and he was a 33-year-old rookie. He had 18 relief appearances, posted an 0-1 record with a 4.73 ERA, one save, and gave up 23 runs, 17 unearned, 43 hits, 10 walks, 19 strikeouts, and 32 and one-thirds inning of work. Eckerson died in Ogden, Utah at the age of 88 in 2008. Well, that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, a poor guy, you know. Rookie at 33.
He lasted longer than Moonlight Graham.
He basically sounds like Brian Mattis. All of the runs given up are unearned.
He would, with that stat line, he'd fit in the modern-day Detroit's bullpen.
Yeah, with him, Jabba... Joaquin Soria. And
at 6'5", though, that's really tall for a reliever. That's like Andrew Miller height.
Yeah, surprised. If only he had the modern development of pitching today, probably would have became something.
He was 31 when he had that MVP caliber season in the Can-Am League. That's something I find crazy. I don't know how long he played. I can't find anything on him. Because he was born in 1919. I mean, that's saying something. I mean, he was it. That was two wars, wasn't it? Or no.
1919 was the start of World War One.
Oh, it was? Okay, yeah. So he lasted through two wars. And I don't know, it doesn't say if he had service time or whatnot, but it's interesting. What did the Detroit Tigers do in 1953? They went 60-94. They were 40 and a half games behind the Yankees.
So, not the best year for them. No,
not at all. What, is it? Yeah, New York won the AL with a record of 99-52. Cleveland won 92-62. Chicago White Sox 89-65. There's a big drop off because it was New York, Cleveland, Chicago. Red Sox were 84-69. The Senators, the Washington Senators, this is how back we're talking, was 76-76. And then you get the Detroit Tigers with 60-94.
Then the Philadelphia Athletics and the former Baltimore Orioles, St. Louis Browns.
That was the year. Wait, this was 53. This was the year before they moved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was the last year
of the Browns.
Yeah.
Last year of the Browns being the Browns. But the Browns are always the Browns.
Even if they become the Orioles.
Yeah, the Browns are always
the two Baltimore teams used to be Browns teams.
All right, well, that's it for Time Capsule. We are going to get back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, and we're back, and we're going to move to baseball now. We're going to start off with, obviously, the Orioles offseason. And whatever
the lack of an offseason so far.
Well, nothing's really happened for anybody besides like the Mariners and the Braves, but
and the Tigers now.
Well, now the Tigers, yes, just because they just did something. We'll get into that a little later.
They did something. Oh my god.
We're gonna start with you know, obviously the big question on every Orioles fan's mind: where's Chris Davis going?
I'm gonna lock him in a trunk somewhere.
Just to keep him so no other team can get
him. Yeah, exactly. Fuck Scott Boras.
My main thing with Davis is now that Weeders is making $15.8 million, that's saying goodbye to Davis. And it's the saddest thing in the world. I thought for the longest time, you know, hey, maybe they'll move Weeders to first, get rid of, like, let Davis fall out. But then Davis has a good year. Every fan's like, if you don't sign him, I'm trading in my season tickets. I'm not being an Orioles fan anymore. It's like, all right, well, we don't need you anyway. Go root for the Nats when they sign him. But, like, I feel like I hate the offseason just because, like, every big team is linked to every big player. It's like, who's linked to Chris Davis? The not the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, the Nationals, like, the teams that spend in the offseason. It's like, it's going to be some mystery team that nobody thinks of, like the Pirates or something, I feel like.
That would actually make a lot of sense because Pedro Alvarez sucks.
I feel like they're going to trade Pedro Alvarez at some point, but they have a first base prospect, but Chris Davis is Chris Davis. He'll mash in Pittsburgh, and it'll be a jump above the Cardinals, probably.
Well, the thing about, I don't think Weeder's getting 15 has really much to do with it, because that's a qualifying offer. It's a one-year deal. I think he's going to get close to there, he's going to get between 12 and, like, 17 mil a year. Somewhere in that range. He's going to get paid just because he mashes.
Yeah. Davis's average annual value is 15 million. That's what they're projecting him to get. Everyone has a different, you know.
Yeah.
I think, like, the biggest one was, like, 7, 120 or something, 130. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
How old is he? He's, like, 28?
Davis is 29, I think. Davis is 29.
Yeah. 29. Giving him a 7-year deal is like giving Albert Pujols that 10-year deal.
That's like my main thing about first baseman is.
I mean, maybe not because he can DH. He has to go to an AL team. Like that's the thing with
him. Yeah, that's the big thing. No NL team is going to give him that big of a deal. And with Davis, I feel like, you know, he can play the outfield, but people, like Scott Boras is selling him as the best infield free agent along with being able to play outfield, but it's like, okay, he can play right field.
Sometimes.
Like, once a month, if anything. You don't stick him out in right field just to play him out there. He's a first baseman. He's a decent defensive first baseman.
Yeah.
But that's not his selling point, and he's not the best infield free agent, I feel.
Who would you say is the best free agent infielder?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I keep forgetting who's, because I'm, with the Orioles, we're focusing on, like, outfielders. I have a bunch of people listed down. It's only pitchers and outfielders.
Ah, okay.
But maybe Davis is the best infield free agent, but that's just because he mashes homers.
Yeah.
Next year is going to be a little bit different because Donaldson and Tulowitzki are going to be on the market.
True. That's very true. There's no way the Blue Jays keep both of them.
Well, no. I don't feel like they keep either of them, and it's going to be tough because they're going to have to pay Bautista. They're going to have to pay Encarnacion.
Yeah, that's not happening. But the one thing, I mean, really, if we don't get Davis, we have to get Chen. I mean, I feel like that's a given. If we don't get one, we have to get the other. Because, I mean, Chen is a solid starter. I mean, Buck is kind of old school in that regard. He likes that idea of having at least one lefty in the rotation.
I'm fine with one lefty in the rotation. But with pitching and the way the market is, whoever signs first is going to set the market, and I feel like it's going to be a desperate team going for a desperate top guy. I think Jordan Zimmerman's going to sign for, like, way too much, and it's going to set the market and raise everybody up. For some reason, the website I use is called...
I think Greinke's going to get more than Zimmerman.
Well, no, I think Zimmerman's going to get signed first.
Oh, yeah.
Because Greinke was going to wait to see who gets a bigger contract, because he's going to want more.
Yeah, Greinke's chasing the money. He can give a shit. He doesn't care about a ring.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he wants money and, like, security for his, like, him and his wife.
Yeah.
That's a big reason he signed in Los Angeles, because he liked the area, he liked the money they offered, because they threw the most money at him.
Right.
But, and plus he was just there because he got traded to the Angels the year before. But anyway, the website I use is called SpotTrack.com, and they do contract projections, and they have Scott Kazmir, who's a year older than Wei-Yin Chen, and who's out of baseball for a year, independent league baseball. He's going to get 14. They have him getting $14 million this year. And
I don't. Not. I mean.
And Chen's at $11 million.
I don't know about Kazmir getting $14 million because of his age. I don't think he. I think he's going to be one of those guys that he's going to be one of the last ones to get signed. Like, I think we'll be like maybe a week or two into spring training, and somebody's going to sign Scott Kazmir, just because of his age.
Yeah.
And they don't.
I mean, he's only 31, but the way he's just—he's
over the hump.
Yeah, he's started. His best years were in Tampa Bay. Went to L.A.
Wait a minute. He's only 31.
Yeah, he's only 31. He started really young with Tampa Bay, and he pitched great there. I don't remember if he won a Cy Young or not.
One of the few people, one of the many people older than Dalvin Young,
from the same team. But some other pitchers that would interest me are obviously Jordan Zimmermann. You know, I'm not looking at just a pure lefty. I know the Orioles probably are, but there aren't that many lefties on the market aside from maybe like J.A. Happ.
Yeah.
And his average annual value is $14 million, which is ridiculous. Mike Leake is interesting. He's one of the youngest on the market. He's actually the youngest on the market. He's 28.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds, from what I've seen, the Reds fans had a lot of issues with Leake. I mean, he's very inconsistent. He's one of those guys that, you know what you're getting with him, and he's going to be your 4 or 5 guy.
Yeah. And we already have a ton of 4 or 5 guys.
Yeah, he's not going to... Mike Leake is not going to blow you away. Mike Leake is not an improvement. I mean, he's not consistent. I mean, consistency is one of the big things I would look at when coming to free agent pitchers, is we don't have a lot of consistency in the rotation. We didn't last year, at least.
2014 is just a whole different story. That was their highest achieving they'll ever have, probably.
Yeah. I mean, Bud Norris was almost...
Bud Norris was all-star level.
Yeah, he's playing at an all-star level.
Yeah. And he'll never... Speaking of Bud Norris, I think he's a free agent. He didn't have an average annual value to him.
I'd welcome him back on a minor league deal, just see what he's got.
I wouldn't. Just out of personal spouts with Bud Norris. Because he said the thing about, it was the thing of, like, what did he say? He said something about, like, Hispanic players not being, like, welcome here or something, because...
I don't think that... Was that him?
Yeah, it was Bud Norris was interviewed about it.
Damn it, Bud.
Some other free agent pitchers the Orioles should look at are, obviously, Jordan Zimmermann. Giovanni Gallardo is being tied to him. And the surprising thing is Giovanni Gallardo is only 29.
He seems like he's been around forever, too.
Yeah. Doug Fister would be a cheap one-year guy, probably, just because he's coming off of a struggling year.
Yeah, he seems like a guy who's primed to take, like, a one-year deal somewhere just to prove his worth. Yeah. That could be in the Orioles' wheelhouse, definitely.
Ian Kennedy's wheeling for maybe $13 million. It's interesting, but it's not going to work in this division.
Ian Kennedy didn't really do much
last year. Yeah, he struggled for the Padres.
He seems like another guy who'd take a low one-year offer, in my opinion. That's what he should do. I mean, but he's older, so he might not. Yeah. He's probably not going to get another big contract in his career.
Some surprising ones. Jeff Samardzija is only probably going to yield $12 million when if he signed after leaving the Chicago Cubs, he would make big money.
Oh yeah, he would have made a lot more money. His value went down.
Some other interesting one. Obviously, the two biggest ones are yield probably $27 million are David Price and Johnny Cueto. Mm-hmm. I don't believe Cueto is worth $27 million. I feel like David Price is.
Yeah, I mean, just because
David Price is younger than Zach Greinke. Greinke's 32. David Price is 30. Greinke's only going to yield probably 26.
Mm-hmm.
But David Price, I don't think he'd stay in Toronto. He's obviously not going to stay in Toronto. I don't know what would be a good fit for David Price, and it sounds like it. I feel like it would be Boston.
Right.
Just because he does good in the American League East. He's already been on two American League East teams. Mm-hmm. Some other ones are Alfredo Simone could come back to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Alfredo Simone. He had two good months.
Yeah. And then where did he eventually go? He went to, he went to Cincinnati and then he went to Detroit.
Yeah.
Zeus with Detroit now. He did okay. Somehow he yielded $10 million. It just seems so funny. Gavin Floyd's a free agent. There's no average annual value tied to him, but he's from Severna Park.
Yeah.
They always say that whenever
Gavin Floyd's available. It's the same thing with what's his face? Guy who's with the Phillies.
Trout?
No.
No.
The guy who lives close to Maryland, older guy.
Oh, AJ Burnett.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, Oh no! Oh, Burnett lives in Moncton, Maryland. You don't care. He plays in Pittsburgh. That's close to it anyway.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe the only one I'd like out of left-handers is J.A. Happ. He's 33. Maybe the Orioles could lowball him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
it says he's $14 million. I don't think he's $14 million. No,
it's this spot rack thing. I really don't like it. How? Because I mean, no pitcher. There's not too many pitchers out there that are worth more than $10 million a year.
No, but it's just how the market's set. The only ones under $10 million on here are Kyle Loesch because he's 37, Kyle Kendrick because he was awful in Colorado, Mike Pelfrey because I feel like he got moved to the bullpen with Minnesota.
Yeah, he's not that great.
And Colby Lewis because he's 36. Yeah. So it's just how the market goes.
The market is going to be set by whoever gets the biggest contract. The first big contract.
Yeah, the first $100 million one. And I feel like it'll either be maybe like Zimmerman or Price.
Yeah,
they'll sign too quick. Then Greinke will follow. Surprising free agent Tim Lincecum. Do you think he goes back to San Francisco?
Possibly. They trade him right there. He might look to be a starter, though, because they moved him to the bullpen, so he might try to get a starting job somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's got rings. He don't care, probably.
Yeah, true. I mean...
I estimate he'll go to either the Mariners or the Rockies.
I could see both those going on.
Did you get the joke?
Oh.
I
was a... yeah, okay. Okay, I gotcha.
Or where was the other state where it was legalized?
Oregon.
Well, they don't have anything. He could...
Well, they don't have anything.
They don't have any MLB teams yet.
There's probably an independent team there.
Would he take that big of a pay cut?
I don't know. Smoke that dank weed, though.
He needs the quality stuff. He needs that Peyton Manning Papa John's. Papa John's hash. Now, moving to outfielders, obviously the Orioles starting outfield. Right now, I would estimate to be left field, Junior Lake, center field, Adam Jones, right field.
Traffic cone.
Daryl Alvarez / Sadness. You know, Alvarez is interesting because he's one of, like, 14 outfielders last year that threw a ball into the infield at 100 miles an hour. Kiermaier really? Kiermaier had, like, 8. Alvarez had 1, and one other player only had multiple. But I saw it on Fangraphs, and Daryl Alvarez... interests me just because he mashes home runs, but he is basically a worse version of Mark Reynolds. Home runs, but he strikes out a ton. He has no plate discipline.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why Duquette wanted to keep him in the minors, because he hoped that he would patch the hole in his swing from striking out so much.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing he wouldn't learn at AAA that he wouldn't learn at the majors, just mm-hmm. because the level of pitching is not as good, so you would think... hey, learn to stop swinging less. The pitching isn't that good here. It's going to get better in major leagues. If you keep swinging, they're just going to strike you out.
Right.
Scope learned a lot in 2015 with...
He's going to match 30 homers. I'm predicting that.
No, right I'm now. Not... If he plays a full year...
He's hitting 30 home runs.
Yeah. He's going to replace... If Davis leaves, he's going to replace that offense. Along with Manny hitting 30 again, I think. And if Jones can get back to maybe 25... And if he plays maybe 150, 160 games.
Yeah, hopefully Wieters would get some of his power back. I don't think he will.
But I think he'll maybe get 20.
20?
But it's Camden Yards, modest.
Yeah.
Hitters Park. I mean, if the Orioles signed Brett Gardner would probably hit 10 home runs. But here's some outfielders, you know, Justin Upton.
I want Alex Gordon.
No, Alex Gordon is my main guy. He's 31, but he's worth it. And if the Orioles can't get Alex Gordon, I'm going Denard Span.
I don't like Denard Span just because he's so streaky.
Well...
It seemed like every other week he was struggling in Washington.
That's true. But then again, the Orioles... The way the Orioles lineup goes is either everyone's hitting or nobody's hitting. So true. He would fit right in that mold. True. There's Dexter Fowler.
He's going to get paid a lot, I feel
he's going to get paid a lot because he hits well and he plays solid defense. And he... I don't think he's going to want to play corner outfield.
True.
I feel like
center field. Well, because, I don't know.
Because Denard Span played corner outfield in Minnesota. He never did in Washington because they had Harper and Worth, and they said they needed center field. But I feel like Span would play right field well in Camden.
True. It's a big right field. You have to learn how to play that.
But
you
then,
have to learn how to play the scoreboard.
Yeah, but then Alex Gordon would just play left field normally in Camden. And he's probably one of the best left fielders in baseball.
Yeah, it still is. I like Alex Gordon's defense. I feel like he's lost a bit since he's getting older. I feel like this is his first like a subpar year because didn't he hit like?
Well, he only played in 54 games.
Yeah, that too. He got hurt, so I'm a bit iffy with him. But I feel like he could get back to it because Alex Gordon is is a solid player. I mean, he's been that through his career.
He's like one of the top players in wins above replacement in the outfield since 2012. He's like in the top three. So I'm all for. I hope. I just hope in Dan Duquette's office in the warehouse, it just says Alex Gordon on the whiteboard with a big circle around it. Some other free agent outfielders are Jason Hayward, who obviously yield probably the biggest contract when he doesn't.
He's going to get like $150 million.
Well, not only with being the youngest outfielder at 26, he's the best fielding outfielder, I feel like, in the market right now, aside from Gordon. He only plays right. He's no center. Yeah. He's no center fielder. Doesn't have that kind of range. I don't see him going back to St. Louis. I think he would probably fit well with San Francisco.
Right.
I feel like San Francisco would be a good home for him.
Yeah, because they have a big right field.
They have a big right field. He would help that. He would help the offense. And they cut Aoki. They didn't.
Yeah,
I was about to get to Aoki. People are saying bring him to Baltimore. It's like, well, there's a reason San Francisco cut him. They don't want him anymore. Well,
he got injured twice with San Francisco, right? He had a concussion or something like that.
He had a concussion and he had something else.
It was something with his leg. I'm pretty sure he like fouled a ball off his leg and had like a big bruise and missed some time, I think.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. But Aoki is, I feel like he was never the same after those injuries, so that's why the Giants cut him. Maybe a change of scenery helps him a little bit, but I don't think he's going to get back to that, what he had signing with the Giants.
When he was with Kansas City. Marlon Byrd, at 38, is a free agent. He's been tied to the Orioles every trade deadline since 2012. Marlon Byrd has never played on the Marlins, and he's never played on a team with a bird mascot. He could change all of that if he signed with the Orioles. He would be a fourth outfielder at best, but with the quality of outfielders now, he would be starting in left
field. Is David Lowe still on the squad?
I don't think he's a free agent. He took Orioles out of his Twitter name, so it kind of worries me, because that's how I follow
MLB. What is it, just David Lowe now?
It's like DLowe330 or something. Oh, okay. And then obviously the biggest name, Yoenis Cespedes, probably yield, money. It's all money with him.
Money.
He doesn't care where he's playing. You know, he's going to mash homers anywhere. He mashed him in Citi Field, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So he's going to go where the money is.
We'd have Cespedes family barbecue on our side too.
True. Well, one of their guys already is an Orioles fan.
Yeah. So. Well, we get all of them.
We get all two of them.
All two of them.
But I obviously love Cespedes. I would welcome him here with open arms. I can suffice with the attitude because he is really good.
He produces.
Good. Like, he would work well. Adam Jones would be happy to have him.
Yeah.
Because he wants offense next to him.
Well, I mean, he would fit well because, I mean, we do have a lot of, there's a big, I mean, I feel like the Orioles have a very pronounced, Spanish, amount of players. Like, I mean, we have Scope, we have Manny.
Jimenez.
There's plenty of Spanish players on the team.
Caleb Joseph made it a point to learn Spanish so he could speak with Ubaldo and the other Hispanic players. It was on ESPN.com. It was a really good article about how it was when Joseph came up and Ubaldo was new to the team. Because when they come here, they don't know any English. So he was like, hey, I'll just learn Spanish to talk to these guys. I can just see Caleb Joseph talking with like an English.
English to Spanish dictionary. He's like flipping through.
Yo, soy. Fastball. Geraldo Parra is a free agent. He would be a cheap one-year deal, I think, just because he was awful in Baltimore.
Yeah. He was awful with us.
He played okay defense. He never hit anything. He would be the cheap Duquette option.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, a minor league contract. But Parra, I would be okay with him back if it wasn't our main option. Like, right. If we got Alex Gordon and then brought in Parra,
I would be happy with Parra being the fourth guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
That would make sense, a lot of sense to me.
Well,
because he plays solid defense and he can kind of hit. He can hit a little bit.
Well, who would be the other two? Maybe, like, an Alex Gordon and,
Alex Gordon and then, like...
Alvarez, maybe?
You'd have to use Urrutia or Alvarez, I feel like.
I don't like Henry Urrutia. Everyone loves Henry Urrutia. I am not a Henry Urrutia guy. He's a slap hitter. He doesn't hit home runs anymore. He has one career home run, and it's a walk-off.
Yeah.
But I'm not big on... I love Henry Urrutia's story. I love the guy. He's the nicest guy ever. It's the Cuban tag is with him, so he's going to get a lot of looks, but I just don't feel he's worth starting in an outfield where you don't have that much talent to start with when your best options right now are Junior Lake, him, and Daryl Alvarez.
Right.
When you need a guy like Alex Gordon or even Yoenis Cespedes.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to the news now? Do some quick hits because we only got.
Yeah, sure. Just do some quick hits around the league. Biggest news so far is Brandon. I think it was yesterday. Brandon Crawford signed a 6-year, $75 million extension, getting rid of his two arbitration years
and adding four and getting in the draft to get four of his free agent years.
Yeah. So and it's a cheap deal for the quality of defense he plays.
Oh yeah, he actually turned it around. I think I was reading it was like 2 or 3 years ago. He actually started hitting with Barry Bonds. And
well, that just solves everything.
Yeah, right there. His big thing was though. I believe it was like he couldn't hit lefties. Like his splits versus lefties were like crazy bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then all this, and like every year since he's been working with Barry Bonds, they've gone up.
Okay.
So Barry Bonds taught him how to hit lefties.
That's good.
And for his level of defense and his hitting is just constantly improving. $675 is cheap as anything.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Maybe not surprising to a lot of people, but surprising to me. David Ortiz is retiring. It's surprising to me because the last 3 years he's hit 30 home runs, so he can still mash homers. And yeah. I feel like he'll hit 30 again this year.
I feel like he'll hit 30 as much as I hate the guy. I mean, he can still play fucking baseball.
He still plays great baseball. I don't know if he'll do the farewell tour. His agent wants him to. He said after Jeter did it, he doesn't want to. What would the Orioles get David Ortiz as a parting gift?
Payphone.
I hope they preserved it somewhere in glass and just give it to him, and with just the video of it playing on the screen when they present it to him.
Give him,
and then show him the bill for it.
Give him a signed picture of Kevin Gregg
of them fighting. Like what was Jeter's present?
They gave him like a bat made of chairs
no?
No, that was another team. They gave him like a bushel of crabs, didn't they?
Oh yeah, Markakis gave him a bushel of crab stuff. That was lame.
It's the only
other kind of crab he has.
Wasn't Nick. They gave Mo a golden bat.
Yeah. No, Nick Markakis presented Derek Jeter the things because Jeter retired in 2014.
Oh yeah.
And Markakis is still with the team. So David Ortiz retiring. Happy birthday to David Ortiz, by the way. Today's his birthday.
It's your birthday too.
No,
yeah.
It is.
Oh. Yeah.
No, today's also who else has a birthday today? David Ortiz, Owen Wilson, the guy that played Freddie on iCarly.
Nathan Kress,
yeah. He just got married the other day.
I hate how I know that.
Well, iCarly, you know, that was when we were in like middle school, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, possible trade.
Oh, yeah, Jose
Fernandez might be on the market. Marlins obviously say no, but of course every team's going to say no. Aroldis Chapman's on the trade market. Possible suitors, according to MLB.com, are the Houston Astros, Detroit Tigers, San Francisco Giants, Washington Nationals, and Seattle Mariners. Interesting note about the Tigers, they just traded infield, their number 11 prospect, Javier Betancourt, to the Milwaukee Brewers for K-Rod. So
I'm loving all these moves. I love it when sports... Football needs more trades. I'm sorry.
No, football trades are bad. And it's just because there's none of them. All the free agents sign the first day free agency hits.
Yeah. Well, it's because they have that...
It's because they have...
That period where they can negotiate, but they can't sign.
Yeah. A little minor move. Cliff Pennington, 2-year deal with the Angels. He was with the Blue Jays last season.
Isn't he like 36?
I have no idea how old... I feel like he's
old as dirt.
He's been around forever. He didn't even start in Toronto because they had Tulo, Donaldson... Devin Travis, and then Ryan Goins when Travis was injured, so he never got to play.
Right.
Craig Kimbrel to the Red Sox, and then this is probably just going to bump up O'Day's market. We didn't talk about Darren O'Day, obviously. He's seeking a 4-year deal, just announced, but Craig Kimbrel to the Red Sox for outfielder Manuel Margot, infielders Javier Guerrero, Carlos Asueg, and left-hand pitcher Logan Allen. They're all going to the Padres. Padres probably looking to rebuild after not making the playoffs this past season.
I still think they're going to regret firing Bud Black.
No, they will. Bud Black is a good manager. I don't know why.
I'm so pissed off that the Nationals undercut Bud Black.
Yeah. No, it's so funny. I saw a clip of Simpsons gifts are the best. It's when Homer walks into the bar with a suit, and then people are throwing beers, and he just turns back. It's like Bud Black's time with the Nationals.
another surprising trade. Seattle's acquired Leonis Martin and right-handed pitcher Anthony Bass from the Texas Rangers for Tom Wilhelmsson and center fielder James Jones. Jones, obviously a pure defensive guy, not the best hitter. Leonis Martin, one of the best defensive center fielders in the game. But just because I feel like there's so many good defensive center fielders in the American League, along with Kiermaier, Lorenzo Cain, now Martin, and Adam Jones. You just can't put a pin on who's the best.
Don't tell the internet that Adam Jones is a good center fielder. They're crucified.
Oh, no, because Lorenzo Cain's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiermaier's the best. The Atlanta Barves, and they're the Barves from now on because they are awful. They have traded Andrelton Simmons away.
Boo.
Oh, my God. They trade him. Well, I'm happy. I don't like the Braves, so he's off. I like Andrelton Simmons. I don't like the Braves. They traded him to the Angels, who I don't like either, for Eric Ibar, left-hand pitcher Sean Newcomb, and right-hand pitcher Chris Ellis. So the Angels are out of prospects because Garrett Richards was promoted. Mike Trout's been up for a couple years.
Don't they have Haney?
Well, no, he's up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's up. Little surprising trade. Twins trade Aaron Hicks to the Yankees for John Ryan Murphy. Murphy will probably start in Minnesota because he was backing up for
McCann. He's going to ball.
I feel like he'll do good for Minnesota. Aaron Hicks is a surprising move because he can't hit, but he plays great defense.
And that's not a Yankee thing, though. The Yankees seem to always be willing to sacrifice defense for offense, and they're actually in the process of trying to trade Brett Gardner to the Indians.
Which is really surprising because Brett Gardner was one of... Well, he was All-Star last year.
Yeah.
So they'll obviously wield a little bit more. But the Yankees need to rebuild a farm system, too. They have Aaron Judge, but then other...
When was the last time the Yankees had a farm system?
Jeter, Rivera, Bernie Williams.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
For the first time in MLB history, three players, not just one, but three, accept the qualifying offer, and their first three ever to do it. Kobe Rasmus agreed to a one-year $15.8 million contract with the Astros. Brett Anderson, 1 year with the Dodgers. And then Matt Wieters, $15.8 million. Wieters is coming back.
Before E, don't run on he.
Except Kayla Joseph is better.
Bold statement. Bold statement. Hot takes.
Hot takes. Hot takes.
Hot takes. Hot takes.
Marco Estrada avoided a qualifying offer by signing a 2-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. Rich Hill last night signed a 1-year $6 million deal with Oakland Athletics. That's the most Oakland A's move ever. Rich Hill is like 38, so junk ball pitcher.
Well, the cool thing about Rich Hill, I don't want to say actually cool. Interesting. Let's go with interesting. There's a site online. I can't remember what it was, but it's like nastiest pitch of the year. And Rich Hill's curveball actually snuck in. He had one nasty curveball this year, and it snuck into the championship. And I'm like, what, Rich Hill?
Damn. And notes from I think last week or the week before for Gold Glove winners. The two Platinum Glove winners were Kevin Kiermaier in the American League and Yadier Molina in the National League. Molina, this is like his fourth Platinum Glove. I don't know why.
He didn't deserve it.
No, he didn't even deserve the win catcher. I think it should have been
Deserve anything this year. He was horrible.
No, it's because fans vote, and Cardinals fans are obsessed with the Yadier Molina when they can't even admit that Luke Roy is better. But
is it fans vote on the Golden Glove?
No, fans vote on the Platinum Glove.
Oh.
Yeah. So they got Kiermaier right. The only other time someone else has won in the National League for the Platinum Glove was Andrelton Simmons in 2013. Only Gold Glove winner for the Orioles this year is obviously Manny Machado. And three Kansas City Royals won the Gold Glove. Salvador Perez, Eric Hosmer, and Alcides Escobar, just like in the All-Star game, all the Royals.
Don't even get me started on that All-Star game. That was such bullshit.
Smallest market, most votes. Managers of the year, Jeff Banister and Joe Maddon, both in their first years with their clubs. Joe Maddon, obviously, his second year.
Joe Maddon's a boss.
Second tenure with a different team. Jeff Banister's first year ever managing. It's like Buck Showalter says, you can only surprise someone once, so you never have a repeat winner manager of the year. Rookies of the year, Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant, for obvious reasons. I looked at the people who were voting for rookie of the year. Rock Cabaco picked Francisco Lindor to win. He voted for Francisco Lindor over Correa.
What? Francisco Lindor? That must be just like anti-hype or something. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I love Correa a lot. He showed what he was worth in the playoffs for the Astros, and he's going to be the staple of that franchise. Tonight, the Cy Youngs will be announced. I predict Dallas Keuchel taken in the American League, and not Jake Arrieta, but Zach Greinke in the National League.
That's going to be an interesting one, see who they give it to. I mean, it's not going to, like...
If they give it to Clayton Kershaw, I'll be so mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's Greinke and Arrieta were the National League pitchers this year.
Yeah, I just feel like Arrieta was good from July on. Mm-hmm. Greinke was good from April till September. And then tomorrow will be the MVP announcements. I feel like Mike Trout will take it home over Donaldson, and Bryce Harper will win in the National League.
You think Bryce Harper's going to win MVP?
Yeah. Well, he's up against Paul Goldschmidt, and...
I think Goldie gets it.
Well,
Goldie's a beast.
Well, none of the National League nominees went to the playoffs.
True, I mean...
And Harper was amazing this year. Goldschmidt doesn't get the hype because he's in Arizona. I feel like if Harper doesn't win, I'll be fine with Goldschmidt winning. But I just feel like it's Harper's year.
True, I mean... I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out.
Do you agree with Donaldson over Trout?
No.
Or Trout over Donaldson.
I can't say that because I hate Donaldson.
Well, I don't mind Donaldson.
Hey, he's a bit too rowdy for me.
That's okay. I like him rowdy. That's why let's...
Oh, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Connor likes him rowdy.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm probably...
All right. Okay. outside noises.
Yes. That about wraps the show up, doesn't it?
Yep. Ravens play who this weekend?
Shit. I haven't even been paying attention, to be honest with you.
Well, the Giants are on a bye, so, and then we play Washington the other week after that in Washington.
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 Washington Nationals.
Washington Redskins. Washington Explicitive.
Okay. That about wraps up the show. I'm Cody Colston. You can find me on at the other Cody on Twitter. It's at
there's an underscore in there somewhere.
I haven't quite perfected it. My co-host here is
Connor _ Garcia, if you can spell Garcia right. Props to
you. that's where you can find us on social media. You can find everything you want.
You can find me on the Baltimore Orioles Facebook group.
Trolling.
The trolling of the infamous Orioles Facebook groups.
God, don't even go there.
No, I muted like so much on my Facebook, so I don't even see those posts anymore. I want to be part of it just so I can chime in and be like, hey, no. Got anything coming out on BSR?
No, you have something, don't you?
No, I just posted an article, my argument for Matt Wieters starting at first base, and it's pretty much just a base of Caleb Joseph's a better pitch framer, got better thrown out at second base, and Matt Wieters is on a decline catching. He doesn't throw out guys as much. Right. His knees are just going to get weaker because of his height, so just play him at first. Go the Mauer route.
Yeah, move to first.
And save his career, I think. You know, you can sacrifice range because Jonathan Scope is a good second baseman.
All right, well, that's it for the show. You can find us on BaltimoreSportsReport.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We will see you next Wednesday.